Yum 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 num num. Rice balls. Num num num.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Welcome, welcome to WTF at TFW. This is Vangelis, and I've been playing a lot of Mass Effect 1, and I can't get anything done, so I'm still playing Mass Effect 1. I'm doing this podcast, but I'm looking at the wall that is between me and my television set where Mass Effect 1 is waiting to be finished on its first playthrough. And I gotta continue the legend of Van Shepard. But today we're gonna not discuss Mass Effect, at least not as a major topic. With me today is Aaron, who's looking for something.
Yes, I'm looking for a second lockdown hook for reasons that may become clear later.
Porno. And also here with us is the returning undrugged Lupus Convoy.
Hello, everybody. I'm back.
Feeling better?
Run away. No, but no. I'm alive.
So, can I make you feel really bad for your usual thing where you don't keep up with the podcast threads and stuff? I have a totally topical one. A whole lot of people sent you condolences and get wells.
I actually did see that.
Oh,
I even got some Twitter messages, and I want to thank everybody, and I feel really bad that I have been gone for like a month, and I feel like a really bad podcaster. I've let all our fans down.
It's all right. It's all right. Call them listeners, though. That makes me feel more comfortable.
Listeners? Yes. Listeners, not podcasters?
Well, not. I find fans.
Not cultists?
I find fans a little too, like, it's kind of blunt. I prefer listeners.
Listeners. Followers?
Followers can work if they're following us on Twitter, at Vangelis on Twitter.com, or at Axsmith on Twitter.com, or at Kamenity Style on Twitter, or at TJ Omega on Twitter. Speaking of TJ Omega, hey! Omega's Prime!
Yes, I'm here, too.
We're here today to talk to you about Transformers, and we're going to open up with more Transformers 3 news! Exciting stuff! Biggest news of 2010, Kevin Dunn is negotiating an appearance in the third Transformers film. You might remember him as Ronald Witwicky, Sam's father, the one who might be called Sparkplug. So, are you guys jazzed as all hell that we're going to get Kevin Dunn back?
A recurring character is going to recur?
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's right.
That was what was missing from Transformers 2. More complaining about his yard.
Yes.
I want that.
I was hoping you were going to say that's what was missing from Transformers 2. More Kevin Dunn. Because he was only in it for, like, what, 20 minutes?
He was only in it for 20 minutes because they cut out the scene where he's complaining about his yard.
Yeah, he could have been in it for 25 minutes. If there is not 25 minutes of Kevin Dunn in Transformers 3, I'm going to throw a fit.
You know what? I will throw a fit if Julie White isn't in the next movie.
Yeah! We need more Julie White.
Mrs. Witwicky.
Oh, yeah, we need more Julie White. She needs to be on different substances.
I don't know. She was. I like the actress, so it's kind of a high point to see her in the films. But yeah, if they're going to bring in Ron, they have to bring in, you know, Mrs. Witwicky.
Maybe Julie White could be Circuit Breaker.
I don't want to see her in that outfit.
Only if Mojo is on other drugs too.
I need more Mojo, too. If Mojo's not in Transformers 3, it's going to be a lesser movie.
I agree.
I won't go.
It'll be bad Mojo Rising.
Boycott.
The slightly more palpable bit of Transformers 3 news was only up briefly, was that several concept art sketches appeared, and then we know they were legit because they were requested to be taken down by powers that are. Some of them are up on io9.com, but there are ones that I know I saw that aren't on there. Namely, the Junkion. And that was the only one that really stuck out for me out of that bunch. And given how few people probably saw it, I'll describe it for you, because descriptions are not copywritten material. It was basically a movie-style Junkion. It was a sort of scrapped-up-looking movie transformer who was kind of rusty orange and turned into a motorcycle and had very specific knee pads, which were like they were drawn next to him in scale with the label knee pad. And he was labeled, I believe, Junkion Alien. So that combined with some of the background sketches that were shown and some of the stuff that is up on the IO9 thing is that that could be a look at perhaps other locales that the movie might go to. That's really the only palpable thing. So end of the day, bullet points, Junkion, possible alien worlds. Aaron, what are your thoughts on that, given how you didn't get to see most of it?
Okay. Transformers in space. Maybe. I don't know. You can only maybe do so much on Earth. Or some of the other images that were up that we got pointed at later, I don't think I have that tab anymore. It looked like a lot of environments. I think that there was one or two that looked like maybe a ship interior.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I believe it was game concept art, so it was probably very environmental.
That stuff was game concept art? Well,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I could see it going to space just because it's like, how do you cap off two on Earth? You bring space into it because so far maybe we've not seen the full force of the Transformers. We've just seen like a couple of small parts of. We've seen battles, not the war.
Mm-hmm. And Lupus, how do you feel about some of this art, whether or not you saw it, going by what you have seen and the descriptions thereof?
What I have seen, it was really nice to see Lithone, but most of the stuff just looked like generic background concept art.
I forgot about Lithone. Yeah, there were Lithonians.
See, I haven't seen the Lithonians. I've only seen the background stuff that's on IO9.
I got a
text message about it, like, right when I woke up, and it had already been, like, 4 hours too late to see him.
There were some Lithonians up too, and one of them looked very Kranix-y, like movie Kranix. So it looks like they were considering
concept art dudes just hitting up the movie, the 86 movie.
Yeah, it looked like they were kind of going like, what other alien robot races could we work in? Lithonians and Junkions as possibilities. Like it's all concept art, but I thought it was neat that they were kind of messing in that realm because. My favorite part of G1 is Season 3 because they opened up the universe like that and had all these other, you know, they happened to look Transformers-y alien races, and I enjoyed that. So, if that's in there, it would work for me. But Omegas, how do you feel about this concept art barrage that you may or may not have gotten to see?
Oh, I was lucky enough to see it. I did see the Junkion, who looked quite cool in a kind of a Cybertron ransack kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Which that I dug. At first I was certain that this artwork was fake just because of all the copy-pasted Optimus Primes that were stuck all over it, which in a way made me laugh, but at the same time, it's, whatever they're planning to do, the scale is enormous. It's a lot bigger than anything from the last movie, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, we got one CGI shot where inside the Fallen's, spaceship or whatever it was at the time. And that was really the only thing outside of Earth that we ever saw, and it felt dinky. It felt mm-hmm. very small.
Like you were seeing his room, and that was about it. Like in this
right.
giant structure, you were seeing like his ready room, and that was it.
The Fallen Lounge. So whatever they're planning, it's enormous compared to that. So I'm very much looking forward to it. The one that kind of struck me was this strange spaceship that almost looks like an amalgamation of both Megatrons.
Would you say it's a double Megatron?
Maybe not double Megatron, but maybe a... Well, yeah, it's a double Megatron. It's half.
Or would it be a Mega Megatron?
A Super Megatron?
No, Mega yeah. Megatron. That's 1.5 Megatrons is a Mega Megatron.
See, this man knows his science.
A double Megatron would be a Mega Megatrontron, and I'm not sure if it's a Mega Megatrontron, but it might be a Mega Megatron.
Actually, if we went to go glasses sliding geek, wouldn't a Mega Mega be a Giga?
Well, I'm not thinking mathematically here.
Mega,
I'm thinking in terms of, given that the Mega...
Mega Mega would be Terra.
The Mega of his name is more of like a prefix and less of a mathematical amount. It just coincidentally sounds like a mathematical amount. What are we talking about?
I don't know. My head hurts.
I hope that you guys are enjoying the Transformers 3 coverage so far.
Did we need to have spoilers up for that?
I don't know. Nobody can see the pictures. So
spoiler, Mega Mega is a Giga.
Yes.
Terra.
Terra.
I must crack myself. It's a Terra.
Let me know in the thread if you guys would prefer this stuff to be spoiler marked. I'm kind of putting it in the topic list more so as a warm-up joke section. So, you know, let me know. If you would prefer me to put this stuff at the end of the podcast, I could. It's just I didn't really see a point at this stage in the game. But let me know. What do you guys think? Should we be putting this at the end?
Yeah. There's nothing plot related so
Kevin
far.
Dunn yeah, might be in Transformers 3, guys.
The light stuff I think is just fine where it is. You have made a good and valid and honorable decision, sir.
Excellent. The mind control is working. Let's move along to the other movie
Excellent.
Topic.
The mind control is working. Sorry, I was just getting it moving.
Dance, puppet,
so
dance.
Who really won that one?
Let's talk about Revenge of the Fallen's award show turnouts. Now, unfortunately, it did not win the sound editing Oscar. That went to Hurt Locker. I regret not seeing Hurt Locker, because a friend of mine who generally doesn't like movies that get overhyped from the Oscars before the Oscar lead-up was telling me that Hurt Locker was pretty decent. So Revenge of the Fallen didn't pick up an Oscar. I didn't think it was gonna. Sound editing is like one of the, to me, it's one of those ancillary awards that they give to the movie that is going to get other awards, so it can say it had one yeah. more.
So winner of 87 Oscars.
Yeah, it was a bit
because
of a pity nomination.
Made up 43 of them.
I do kind of appreciate that they at least gave Revenge of the Fallen a pity nomination because it made so much money.
Yeah.
It was nice to not totally snub the thing. I am still kind of miffed that District 9 got snubbed from winning an award because I think it deserved more than a pity nomination.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I am eating crow that Avatar didn't win more awards than it won because I was really sure it was going to be the political sweep of the Oscars. And I've already been given several political reasons why Hurt Locker got all the awards it did. So it's not like, you know, they had to turn around morally for me or anything. But all that aside, we did win something. Revenge of the Fallen won 3 Razzies.
That's what counts, man.
Yeah, I believe it was Worst Picture, Worst Director, and Worst Screenplay. So it was Revenge of the Fallen, Michael Bay, and Orsi Kurtzman who won the Razzies. Here's the thing, all right? I have a feud now because I'm cool, you know, it's cool that we won those 3, but there were 2 that we really needed to win. And I would have been cool ditching any of these 3 to win Worst Actress or Worst On-Screen Couple. And we didn't win
either
of those.
Worst On-Screen Couples.
And both of those were taken by an individual who I will call Sandra Bullock. All right. And she showed up at the Razzies. You know, she's cool like Halle Berry, but you know what? She stole our goddamn Razzies. So I'm starting a movement right here. I don't know if you guys are going to have the balls to join me on this or not, but I'm starting a movement to take back the Razzies that Sandra Bullock stole from us. Because much like Avatar, she showed up out of nowhere filling in the Halle Berry role and she took our damn Razzies. So I want to take those back from Bullock. Back from Bullock. Back from Bullock. I'm hoping that you guys are chanting with me at home. Those are my thoughts on the Razzies. Aaron?
It just seems like the Razzies are the What Do We Hate awards.
What Do We Cleverly Dislike awards.
Yeah, the, that's Michael Bay. Because, I mean, if you watch many shows, you know, they will joke, explosion, that's got to be Michael Bay. It's like, okay, yes. He likes big explosions. We know this. I understand that it is lighthearted. It's not meant as a serious, screw you! But it's like, okay. It seems like it's like a punching bag item that they pick out, and you know, it saddens me that the movie industry is that serious about things that you have to make up this other award deal. When it's taken with the joke, you know, like what Bullock did with bringing in the wagon full of DVDs, you know, hey, that's cool. You know, that's the fun part of it. But it seems like, and I don't want to say the political side of it, but the political side of it, of the award stuff and Hollywood, it's, you know what, it's movies. I don't understand the...
Well, the, to me, that's the, where the I kind of, I lay it at the feet of the people who get nominated for Razzies to liven it up themselves. And I was actually kind of disappointed that Michael Bay didn't do an appearance because the dude is so glorious when he shows up in person at places. He could have owned the Razzies. Like, he would have legitimately, I think, owned that show if he just showed up and were like, sup, I made $1 billion. Give me that trophy. I want to add that to my wall.
Like, yeah, but you know, I'm not helping here, but you know, Michael Bay, if he were to do it, they'd have to have pyro set up on the front of the stage.
But that wouldn't it be
Michael Bay. He's got his little Red Ryder wagon that's already preloaded with fireworks following him at all times.
Yeah, like wouldn't it have been great if they were like, all right, and you know, here is Michael Bay, and it was like, oh yeah, we knew it was gonna be Michael Bay, and they're like, yeah, doesn't look like he's here. Then like WWE style, just like kaboom, and like you know, huge music plays, wall blows down. Michael Bay just walks in with like an army of security around him, just like picks up the mic and just like cuts a promo. And on the crowd, it's like he's like, "Sup, Razzies? This is Michael Bay. I made $1 billion, and I'm gonna have more money than you or your grandchildren will have. I hear you made me a statue. Want to give it to me?" Just like takes a statue, looks at the Razzies, just like breaks it in half, and walks off. Like that would have been awesome.
He wouldn't break it in half; he'd blow it up.
Yeah, he straps a pyro to it. He goes like, "I'm gonna pop this squib when I leave. You better close your eyes." Walks out to his theme music. The little statue gets blown up. Like, I am actually legit as someone who doesn't hate Michael Bay. I am legitimately disappointed that he didn't show up at the Razzies to make a spectacle out of it because that would have been hilarious. And anyone who shows up at the Razzies to pick up their own Razzie, it's proven. Bullock or Halle Berry or anyone who did it before them, they get instant street cred from a lot of people for doing that. So that's why I see the Razzies as such a positive thing, because when you get nominated for a Razzie and you show up to pick it up, it's like you're basically saying, guess what? I am able to swallow my ego to show up and have fun at my own expense. It's like a roast kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
that's why I wish Bay showed up to it.
I've always looked at it as, you know, when you hear these interviews with celebrities and stuff, when they're going over, oh yeah, it was a wonderful experience. I really enjoyed it. When they're going to the Razzies, they're like, yeah, I know this thing was a piece of crap. I can look at it and admit it now. And I don't have to worry about the higher ups at Paramount or another studio saying that you can't say that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
it gives you a chance to
open really
up.
Think that like Halle Berry was like, oh, Catwoman was the greatest piece of cinema I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
No, she was there like, yeah, this thing sucked. But hey, thanks for the award. Yeah.
I actually looked up the making of in Catwoman, and I felt a little bad for Halle Berry to a degree. I mean, outside of the fact that she was doing it as a spite project in a way. She spent a while like learning body language for that role, and it was all completely wasted because they kept putting in CG Halle Berry. And I was like, man, like, she actually did a legitimate effort that was completely, like, wasted time. Like, I can see why she showed up to the Razzies in part to go, like, hey, guess what? This movie sucked, and the people working on it sucked. And damn it, all that time. Oh, I could have been Storm. I don't know. Lupus, how do you feel about the ROTF Razzie hat trick?
I'm more... Okay, I know there's got to be some political reason for it that might involve the letters T and A, but why the hell didn't Megan Fox win for Worst Female Actress?
I bet you it's because Bullock agreed to show up.
Okay, I didn't know if they took in consideration Jennifer's body or not.
It was on there. It was on there.
Okay.
The nomination was for Jennifer's body and Revenge of the Fallen.
So how the hell? Oh,
that's the thing. That's what I don't get.
No.
Because Bullock won Worst Couple, and I can see that. That's why I'm lobbying. I'm like, no, damn it. We won Worst Actress. You know, we was Megan Fox's.
Yeah, yeah. Fox sucked twice last year.
Yeah, Bullock sucked once last year. Exactly. Exactly. Bullock only did one crap movie that she was recognized for in these awards. She like the subtitle on her name was, I believe, only for one movie. Megan Fox had two to her name. That's math. Like, she should have won that Razzie. You know, Megan Fox was robbed. I'm sorry.
I like Sandra Bullock, but if she really wants to win over, like, everything and just win life, she should just give, like, multiple Razzies to Megan Fox. Just be like, yeah, you deserve this a hell of a lot more than I do.
I know!
That would give major props in my book.
That's why when I read the results, I was like, how on earth are the Razzies a clean sweep of our movie and Sandra Bullock and nobody else? Like, that's robbery. We should have swept that. We should have, damn it. Anyway, Omegas, how do you feel about the Razzie hat trick? Or even the no sound editing Oscar? I didn't think there was really much to say on that one.
Oh yeah, we totally deserve the sound editing Oscar.
I mean, there was a lot of good sound work in Revenge of the Fallen, but it's just like the way the Oscars work, that there's no movie that's just going to be recognized for that and nothing else that I can recall. So
yeah,
no, I'm thoroughly disappointed that Revenge of the Fallen had no representation. I mean, not even Michael Bay. Michael Bay would be the pinnacle, but it just does not suit him to appear and make fun of himself in that way without getting paid for it in some fashion.
I guess so, yeah. Oh, they should have raised the... I know it would have gone against the spirit of it, but they should have raised the money to bring him in for the Razzies. This would have been so perfect. I'm sorry.
No, what they should have done is... They should have rented out the prop Bumblebee from the movie and just wheeled it onto the stage in front of the podium.
I could have dug that, or just drive one in. I'm sure. I mean, it's a cool car. I'm sure someone out there owns one. I saw a Bumblebee Camaro, not the Autobot version, but the same colors and make, actually on the streets here a couple weeks ago.
You know, honestly, if they really wanted to bring him in, they should have challenged him and said, "Hey, we can make a bigger explosion than you can, Michael Bay." That would have worked.
Only if they challenged him on his website, because then he would have responded like immediately. He'd be like, "What?" I'm there. I don't know.
I will agree. Bullock should have done the whole Beyonce thing and said, "Okay, someone else deserves the time more than I do, and here comes Megan Fox here."
Yes.
And you know who else would have gained infinite cool points for showing up if she got it would be Megan Fox. I would have let up on any criticism of her for like a full year if she showed up for her own Razzie. Because like, when you make Jennifer's Body, you know what you're making. And I'm sure that she has all kinds of things she'd love to say about, you know, I mean, she already said stuff about working on Transformers that was pretty negative. I mean, like, I want to hear her just open up on Jennifer's Body. Unless she really liked Jennifer's Body. I mean, she's free to. It's just, I suspect she probably would have all kinds of things to say about it. She seems like the kind of person who'd love to just throw her own movie under the bus if nobody likes it. And I have fun listening to that.
Like, I don't like it either.
Yeah.
At this point, myself and Aaron went on to talk about the Oscars for just over 5 minutes without letting anyone else get a word in. So I cut it out. On to new pick picks.
Because me and Aaron were gabbing for so long, let's go last. Lupus.
Can I pass for just now? I need to get specific information on it.
No worries. Omegas, pick a picture. Don't make it about the Oscars.
No Oscars.
Because we'll start again, believe you me.
I'm back on the edge of the chair. Come on, hurry up.
It's pretty thin picture week. I'm struggling to find one here. I do like the cover of the Transformers Animated Almanac.
Yes!
Allspark Almanac Volume 2.
That's a really cool design with them all playing with themselves.
This is a form of masturbation we are watching now.
Indeed. Well, except for Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Gets no toy whatsoever. I love Soundwave in the back just looking depressed that he's been completely left out.
I like the packing peanut that's on his head.
Absolutely random. Yeah, they've ransacked eBay, apparently.
Supreme Prime, yeah.
In the wrong box.
It was a repackage. Someone really wanted that Voyager.
Yeah, it was a Walmart return. Someone just crammed the $50 one in to get the $20.
Yeah.
I like how none of them are playing with Ratchet. Too many accessories. Actually, no, if you look, they already lost two of them. He only has two of his things on his back.
Oh, yeah.
He has the can opener and the hammer, maybe?
Yeah,
no, the screwdriver.
They already lost two of his parts.
That's the wrench.
Oh, I don't need
somewhere.
I don't even see the magnets that flip out. I think they broke them off already.
No, they sit back behind.
But yeah, I guess they might be there. They were rough with that Ratchet. I mean, I bet his parts are somewhere in the packing peanuts. They're just like, we don't need them.
he might be an eBay junker. Wreck-Guard might be kit bashing him later on.
Yeah, it's a cool cover. I'm really digging it. Up for pre-order on Amazon. Go for it. Lupus, do you have an information-ridden picture now?
Okay, not just one picture, but three. Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa.
Okay, so cruising through our wonderful Redicon section in the 2D art. Mind you, I saw these when I was completely drugged out in the past month.
They look different now.
What's that?
Like, they look different now.
Slightly, but not quite so fuzzy. We've had a
purpley-orange color.
Actually, there's lots of purple and a lot of orange.
Yeah, but is it purpley-orange?
It's purpley-orange, especially in the coloring. We've had a three-part Transformers Mosaic storyline. Not exactly like the crossovers that I've spotlighted before, but these three have been renamed the Lithonian's Journey. And considering we've been seeing so much of the promotional art that... Or not promotional art.
Concept art.
From the movie. We've got part one called Rebirth, part two that's Hope, and part three that is called Destiny. And it's three different characters from Lithone that are trying to live on during the 1986 movie.
Two of them
landing on Junkion, and one which actually is Kranix just before he dies.
Ooh.
Mm.
Link us. I will link you. So yeah, that's my pick for this week. And I guess the other two pictures making up for the days that I haven't been here.
Indeed. Now I'm looking at it. This does look pretty cool.
The artwork is exceptional.
Wow.
It's also interesting to see how these two of the characters that landed on Junkion could have actually been brought in as actual Junkions because of degraded mental processes due to radiation, things like that, and how they could have been integrated into the culture. It was actually really, really interesting, and it was nice to see that type of viewpoint brought into background characters.
No, I definitely like that. Exploring Lithonians is the kind of story that I would be so behind. And
it's something
up with.
That people haven't done a lot in Transformers fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love expanding on the guys who aren't the dudes in the front line with the guns, basically. I love that kind of thing.
So you're a big fan of Star Wars?
No, because Star Wars gets dumb a lot for me. I don't know. I when it comes to ancillary fiction in Star Wars, or even the main fiction in Star Wars, it's still too, like, it doesn't feel like I'm just watching snippets of a universe most of the time, unless it's one of the many books that I don't have the time to read. But with Transformers stuff, just because with Transformers, it's so rare to see something where they're like, what are we going to, let's take, you know, random background Transformer number three. Let's take a Lithonian and follow him around. Like, I really like it when people do that kind of thing.
I agree. I don't like it to the point where we've got toys coming out of, you know, character X that was in the cantina scene for less than 2 seconds.
Well, see, Star Wars can do that, and with Star Wars, it's not cool because giant six-breasted dancers aren't as neat as, like, a random background Lithonian. Because a background Lithonian can turn into a spaceship, and that's already inherently cooler.
I don't know. If they're a giant, you know, six-breasted guy, I mean, maybe you might find that other dancer from Jabba's palace kind of alluring and interesting and
They
if
all
you'd want to take her out on a date.
They all get eaten by rancors, and that's the end of it. That's how it is.
Right? Oh, okay. Well, gee, thanks. Spoilers.
I just made. Oh no, no. If you want spoilers from one book, they all get turned into Bomar monks. I read a short story book, Tales from Jabba's Palace, years ago. Spoiler: at the end of every single story, they get turned into a Bomar monk, and it ends with a million Bomar monks walking around the palace. It's nuts. Anyway, Aaron, have you got a picture you'd like to talk about?
What if I say no? Oh,
you're not allowed to.
There's not really a whole lot on. I mean, going through, there's only about 20 stories that are on the front page. And look, there's one about the Razzies here. I'll work. Oh no.
What about books? What about books? Just
people, huh?
What about people getting books?
People getting books. Oh, the Drift-Centered trade paperback.
Yes. Mm. Oh, you're gonna bring up the Drift-Centered trade paperback of your own accord.
No, I think you were.
No, you were.
Okay, I was. Just getting a trade paperback that we've not heard Jack nor about.
Squat? I know about that.
Squat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go, since that's the story you want, I guess.
Well, what do you... Because you're
to
a comic
see it as
reader.
A trade paperback, you have to see it as comics first.
You're a comic reader, so... How would you feel about Shane McCarthy putting out a 104-page... trade for Drift.
I'm not sold on Drift yet.
Hmm.
I know that the classic characters are there because they just happen to happen in 84 or 85 or 86 or whatever, and Drift very well could be a very good character. However, he came out as the look at me, I'm super cool and not doing anything guy. And he's only had, like, one issue where he's really sold it, but then it was very Gary Stu, and maybe his series will help. Maybe it'll make me go, really?
This is going to be, I think, what'll make or break his character. It's going to be literally, it looks to me like it's a 104-page trade paperback. Maybe it'll come out as a monthly miniseries, but I'd almost say, why not just wait till the trade? Read it all at once.
I assume so, because isn't Bumblebee due to wrap up here soon? Because IDW has gone on this great kick of, we're going to make six comics to a series and close it out, and then six comics more to a series that runs parallel to this other one and then close it out.
They still can't just do one title.
Just one title, ongoing.
But
through clenched teeth here.
I think that this Drift origin story will be basically like, you know, he has a toy coming out, there's renewed interest in him. This will be the chance to legitimize his fictional character. And so Shane McCarthy basically, you know, he can write characters.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really going to be up to him to legitimize Drift with this. And whether or not it works, I think we'll kind of say whether or not anyone remembers Drift in a couple of years.
No. Were I to pick my own pick, I think I would actually go for the one that burns a little bit. And Nebular Starscream.
Traded
at Kmart.
I didn't think you were going to pick that up.
No, I saw that and was like, yeah, I might have to go to Kmart just to burn out my eyes. That is a very, at least in the photo that we got, a very reflective green on a very bland gray.
It is.
At least it's the new mold. It's not the old Starscream mold, which I definitely like the newer mold better. But still, wow, that would hurt to look at.
I dig that shiny paint only because it's that really nice shade of turquoise, and I like turquoise. Yeah. So I probably won't buy it, but I'll stare at it a lot. my own picture pick is again, not really a picture, but it's just to bring up that the Transformers Collectors Club has put another issue of their magazine online. I think intentionally this time. So that's kind of neat. I wonder if they're going to keep doing that.
So what's the point in having a membership?
Well, I think it's still restricted access, or is it? No, it's just a preview. I mean, ideally, it would be great if they made it so when one of these issues comes out, you get one coming in the mail, but you can also access a PDF of it.
That would be nice.
a lot of people like myself don't usually get these until like a month after everyone else seems to get them. And that would be kind of cool to sign up for a membership and then basically, hey, guess what? We just released a new issue. It's in the mail and here's the PDF.
That would be, I would, you know what? To help out FunPub, since they've cut out the magazine or the whatever, the wrapper for the magazine.
Yeah.
You know what? If they had a digital delivery version for $30, I would be more than happy to say, hey, look, you know what? I'll take it. Yeah, send me an email, say the next one's up, and I'm happy you don't have to mail me anything but the member toy, and I'd be happy for that.
Well, I mean, it would also...
how much bigger that would be for expansion, too. I mean, they could produce the text add-ons, short stories and stuff, and just add it into the PDF.
Yeah, and they wouldn't
have to worry about getting it online.
They wouldn't have to print anything either. And then, I mean, they could print it if they want, but I mean, like, what would be cool is there are models for this. Like, it wouldn't just, they wouldn't want to just put up PDFs, because guess what? Someone will download it and rapid share it, and boom, your magazine's all over the place. But I mean, people already scan things, but, there are models for delivery of digital comic subscriptions, like from Marvel, DC, and IDW, and they could just pick up one of those models, or maybe hook up with IDW and do something. I don't know.
But then I'm going to flip it and say they haven't put up BotCon registration yet.
Because that's true.
They're supposedly trying to get this...
It's March.
This online pre-order setup thing done, and that was supposed to be February, maybe first week of March, and we're now on the 11th day of March. And I like BotCon. I like the guys that run FunPub, but this is just kind of stumbling.
BotCon aside, because we're probably going to talk a whole lot about BotCon whenever they do get that registration form up, we got to see a picture of Bumblebee from the new Transformers cartoon. He's peeking out from behind the logo of the Hasbro channel. My own thoughts on him are it looks like a simplified movie design or movie-inspired design. Definitely not as cartoony as animated, but still looks to me like it has a cartoony slant to it. Like, it takes the thing of kind of smoothing out the lines a bit, but maintaining a very movie-ish aesthetic. And I think it looks okay. Some folks were actually commenting in the last podcast thread about how much they didn't like it. And someone else was saying how it's a cycle. And yeah, we're about to hit that cycle again. I'm at the point now where I'm just going to kind of spectate it, I think. But I think it looks fine for, you know, the torso and head and arms of a robot. I mean, like, it looks like a bumblebee. That's cool. Apparently we're going to be a little bit movie-ish. I'm okay with that. Got to see
for
more.
For the upper torso, head, wings, and one arm.
Yes.
As we see.
Judge the whole show, Aaron.
I can understand continuing the movie aesthetic. It's kind of what we had initially thought would be the series between movies 1 and 2, was that it would be some sort of carryover or something. And then we got animated, which was a complete hard right turn. But I can understand this. I mean, the face looks very movie Bumblebee. Head crest looks like he has a mouth cover piece. The big wing doors, the dark bicep yellow forearm, which is basically all you can see. That and his shoulder is a wheel. I can understand it because you're going to be able to take the kids that watch the first movie and the second movie, and you're going to have an instant audience. Even if it's not movie continuity, but a movie parallel, it's not like you have to retrain these kids that, hey, you know, this guy that couldn't talk in the movie, well, his mouth runs in the TV show. You know, I could see maybe if they carry some of those parallels, we're in Prime or whatever it ends up being called in the end. If Bumblebee talks radio talk, kind of like what the cyber mission things were.
All right, there was an episode 3 of that. Sorry, that reminds me.
Episode 3 came up.
I didn't watch that yet, and I apologize to the listenership for not having an opinion on it yet. I haven't felt the need to listen to not Lance Henriksen do Lockdown, so I've...
so I'm... By the one picture, I'm not going to say it's a total failure by one picture of a third
half a robot.
It's not even half a robot.
That's right, because if he had, yeah, one of the arms is not there, so it is less than half a robot. Maybe his legs are awesome, guys. Maybe, you know, if you don't like
maybe he doesn't have legs. Did you see the end of the first movie?
That's right. Maybe he's like Beast Machine's rat trap. Maybe he just has wheels down there.
He just rides on the back of a tow truck the whole time.
Yes, that's where.
So he's going to be a handicap and a mute.
Yep.
Yes.
And then halfway through the series, he gets made blind.
Equal opportunity.
Oh, in the new cartoon, he's going to be Professor X.
Yes.
So we'll call him Wheels.
If he's voiced by David Kaye doing Patrick Stewart, I will love it. I was going to say. Lupus, how do you feel about our first glimpse of Prime?
Okay. We all remember the original promotional art that we got for Animated, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was so hate-filled for that. And even I was like, franchise. Oh, my God, it's over. And I jumped into that bandwagon of, oh, my God, it's more movie crap. I'm so sick of this.
That's absolutely fine. Like, it's totally fine. I mean, like,
it's fine to have that viewpoint. But then I was also thinking back, okay, we had Animated, and I was thinking, my God, they're made out of silly putty. You know, it looks like crap. This, we don't have a full view of what the robot looks like. We don't know if he can talk, if he's got a ball gag in his mouth.
Yeah.
he does look really kind of sad looking in the face, so I imagine that he is kind of mute. But I'm going to hold off to see if we're going to get some better images. Maybe there's going to be some design tweaks. Maybe he'll have a more visible thumb. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm reserving judgment, but I'm kind of hoping that they're going to veer a little bit more away from the movie. Like, maybe they're just going to go with Bumblebee and Prime and those characters that showed up in the movie to kind of bring kids in that were huge movie freaks.
Well, that's also why I say there's nothing wrong with disliking it because it looks movie-ish, because I don't think anyone is going to be able to argue that it looks that, or, you know, they're not, no one can say that doesn't look like a movie-ish Bumblebee. It is a very movie-ish Bumblebee. And if you don't like the movie Bumblebee design, then of course you don't like how it looks. So it's like, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm kind of just making fun of the cycle because, you know, hyperboles will come up. And as Aaron pointed out, it is mathematically not even half a robot that we're seeing. So, you know.
It's a good third.
Yeah, it's a good third of it. About. And it's his head, so, you know, maybe if you don't like him, then yeah, you won't like Bumblebee in the new show. But we'll see who else pops up. Omegas, how do you feel about Bumble Prime?
You know what? Believe it or not, I like it. In a weird way, I like it better than the normal movie design. I mean, it's sleeker, there's less going on to it, and the face actually looks a lot friendlier to me. The problem I always had with Bumblebee in the movie was I always got this impression that someone had beaten his face clean off.
I think that did happen in a comic.
Yeah, no one bothered to, like, replate his face this entire time. You know, because he's got, like, speakers for speech, like, hanging off of him. So this is kind of like a cleaned up, like, more... I hesitate to say normal-looking Transformer, you know, because things have been so different lately in design aesthetics. But it does look a lot closer to what I would enjoy seeing the movie Bumblebee as. Now, granted, I haven't seen the legs. The legs might completely kill it for me.
Or they might make it even better. Like, who knows? Who knows what's hiding behind that hub circle?
Oh, My Little Pony.
Maybe he's got bike chick legs, and that means he's really hot, like he's Bishy.
Oh, God.
You've
ruined Bumblebee for me now.
Bishy Bumblebee with his tricycle leg. I would be so into that.
God.
Yeah, I agree very much with the notion that he looks a little bit less threatening. I think it's because they gave him some more defined jaw and cheek structure. And he still has the googly eyes. I mean, that's the really movie-ish part of those googly eyes with those, along with the wings on the back. But The main thing to me about it is it's very smooth. It's like if you took movie and smoothed it, and that's why I think it could end up being pretty visually effective in motion. I'm curious if they're going to actually give them like the animated body slant. That would be kind of neat if they kind of combine the animated aesthetic in terms of pose and posture with the movie designs, because you can kind of see it in the arm that it's got like more of a defined forearm curve to it.
Now, the thought occurs to me, they did mention recently that Bumblebee was due for a remodeling in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Is this maybe the precursor?
Yeah, it could be, because he does look a little bit older than the movie one, because, you know, like I said, defined jaw structure does quite a bit to clean up somebody in a lot of ways. I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out more sooner than later. I mean, if this came out in an advertising magazine, we can maybe start guessing that the timeline we had on the animated first pictures might be something we could apply here. So I'd keep your eyes open over the coming months. I, for one, am excited because I'm always excited for new cartoons. Something else I'm excited for are new games. And let's briefly touch on our very own Seth Buzzard's War for Cybertron scoop. He got to meet up with Matt Teager from High Moon Studios for a press event up in a hotel room and got to see some War for Cybertron on a very intimate level, and they gave him a bottle of water, too. And if you want to know a whole lot straight from the mouths of both Seth and Matt Teager, stay tuned for a supplemental called Seth Pads Unplugged. But I do want to talk about this with you guys a bit as well. I highly recommend, by the way, that all of you go and check out the text report that Seth wrote up. It's very bullet point. It's full of info, and Seth is in the thread offering to answer questions, and funnily enough, people are asking him questions that could actually just be answered by reading his report. But that aside,
read Aaron. The original thing.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the thing that's funny to me, and I
want my question spoon-fed to me now.
This is just, it struck me as a funny thing. Moonbase 2 has recently done a lot of interviews with people in the industry connected to the brand. And often I find a lot of folks go, can someone provide, you know, a bullet point report of what was said? Because I don't want to listen through the whole thing. And so this time, a very bullet point report has been provided with no audio. And now it's kind of like, folks are like, well, Seth, can you just tell me if this thing is in your report?
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of funny. It's like it keeps boiling down farther and farther. But Aaron, what are your thoughts on some of the stuff that was mentioned in his report?
It's definitely interesting. It makes it sound more team based. To take it back to like Mass Effect, where you're controlling one person, and then. It doesn't sound like you can order your seconds around, but at least they're smart.
Yeah, they're
about
not
things.
They're not dumb.
I've played some games where you have the guy that follows along and decides to throw a grenade right where you're standing, because that's where the bad guy was. And you know, if they've got a decent level of AI to know, hey, you know, that's my dude too. I don't want to make my dude go bluey. That would be nice. I don't know. Beyond, it's always the whole. Because he still said it was early, you know, there was no gameplay. But he
it was a structured demo, so it was kind of gameplay, but it was all being played by Matt Teager.
Right. You know, until it's something that's hands-on on a final system, not on a dev kit type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a little bit apt to change. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden going to be My Little Pony and they're on whatever the heck My Little Pony's world's name is. It's still going to be Transformers on Cybertron and whatnot. So I'm more excited, but just that it's coming closer so that I can say, all right, I don't care what the game industry says. I want to put it in my gameplay box and sit there and ignore it like I am a couple of games I have sitting waiting on me.
Well, you're ignoring games because you have Mass Effect, and Mass Effect makes you ignore life.
I've already played through and completed Mass Effect, and I'm not going for achievements or anything since it's on the PC, so I don't need to go through and do insanity to prove that I'm a double triple badass.
But you gotta do a second playthrough to hit level 60. Hit level 60, then you can import a 60 into Mass Effect 2 and get all the bonuses.
I've already played through 1 and 2. I think when 3 comes out, I'll probably replay 1 and 2 so that I can get it set up for the way that I want to do 3. But I'm happy at that point.
Mm.
No, I mean, I don't want to go through the bullet points of the deal because that's probably what you're going to do on the specialty.
Oh, we cited some of it. Seth mostly discusses some stuff he didn't write down and some stuff about the experience. Okay. And there's a clip of him speaking with Matt, and Matt is very eager. Matt is a fountain of eagerness about this project, and it sounds very genuine.
Yeah. Well, from reading through the interview, it sounds like Matt wanted to show things, and publicity PR people went, no!
Yeah, it was about the multiplayer and the customization. Apparently, that is not ready for reveal yet. I'm guessing they're probably still... It's still so far in development that they don't want it to get out of the bag before it's
right.
More polished.
Yeah. Well, plus, because that can just lead you to bad things. You say, oh, no, it's going to be cool because you can play 8 guys. And like, well, no, because everything's set up.
Yeah.
three-player co-op, so you can't do 3-on-3 with 8 people.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be anything that level of goofy, but I can understand some of that stuff. I just, I'm interested because it looks like it's the type of slow build-up RPG-ish brawler shooter type thing. And
yeah,
really digging those games. Got a little bit burnt out with 3 or 4 of them back-to-back, but it's a game style that I like, and so I'm going to pick it up. For the dual reasons of it's a Transformers product and you put that logo on something, I can be pretty stupid about buying it. And the fact that it's a game style that I may like to play, even if it wasn't giant transforming robots from a planet called Cybertron.
All right. And Lupus, how do you feel about some of the War for Cybertron stuff that Seth got for us?
You know, if there was anybody on our crew that was actually going to be more... get the opportunity to do hands-on, it would had to have been Seth.
Oh, definitely. He's our master gamer, as far as I'm concerned.
He is, and he has got the master analytical mind for it as well, to sit there and
yes.
Not be won over by shiny little graphics.
Yeah, he's very objective about it, and, well, I don't want to spoil it, because, you know, it's going to be supplemental, but
points.
He's very subjective about looking at War for Cybertron, and he is still feeling fairly positive about a lot of parts of it.
You know, that's... After watching, reading the written out thing that he has done, I've been on the fence with this. I'm not a huge gamer. I'll play, but I've got a lot of higher priorities than sitting down in front of a game and just plinking around and going through time sinks. Unless, of course, it's on Facebook, but that's another horse entirely. That being said, some of the stuff that we've seen that he has discussed, like, some things completely out of left field that have thrown me, like Soundwave being a truck. We've already discussed that in other interviews and whatnot as to why that had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Breakdown as a character, which, again, kind of out of left field. But some of the things in here I can't help but get really excited about. And the fact that they've kind of streamlined transformations and
yes.
Things that they've talked about and the play modality of it all. I like Aaron said, I've played games where, you know, NPCs are just insanely brain dead, and the fact that they try to incorporate as much AI into it as possible so that they're actually usable and characters, other players can come in and out of those characters on the fly, kind of really gives me a little bit hope for this type of game. So I won't say I'm going to go down and pre-order it, but I'm definitely getting towards that point.
All right.
Definitely kind of pushed me in that direction. So, way to go, Seth. You're winning somebody over that was very much like a, I don't think I want to get into this. And now I'm kind of like, okay, I'm getting there.
And Omegas, how do you feel about this coverage?
It gives me hope, which is something I have not had for a Transformers video game in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that alone makes me happy for this. I do enjoy the coverage. It did answer a lot of the things that I've been curious about. I'd still like to know if vehicles are going to be more than just transportation.
They are full on. I don't want to spoil too much, but vehicles, they like that's the layer that these guys added in, because in Revenge of the Fallen, right, vehicles were basically a speed boost, and they worked as a speed boost, but that meant you were still basically a robot. In this game, like the thing says, transformation is a toggle, and there's a full layer of gameplay based on being a vehicle that works right into it, as he described it to me.
All right, because that's been my only concern.
Mm-hmm. No, that's why they get it, I think, is that they figured out how to make it so you are a two-moded character and not a character who has a mode that he goes into to do one thing, basically.
Yeah, yeah, because I've played everything from the first movie game all the way to Convoy No Nazo, and for as long as I can remember, vehicle modes and alternate modes were just... It's basically the run button in Super Mario,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much all it is. So I was thrilled to find out, oh, they're going to do something.
Yeah.
It's actually going to be useful. Oh my god.
Well, did you read the part about how the cars will have two different modes within themselves, that being hover mode or wheels flipped down, tires on the ground mode?
I did see that, which I thought was a little bit genius.
Yes, that's where I got really interested, because it means that there are literally two different tasks the vehicle mode can do right there on its own.
Right.
So I'm kind of jazzed for that.
Is anybody else really psyched up over the added mobility that's available with the hover mode?
Yeah.
And the ability to sidestep left and right,
yeah.
effectively?
But that's the whole thing about that, is when you're in hover mode, you don't move as fast, but you're basically a hover car, so you get full turning, tilting, whatever. And, like, if you want to use your vehicle mode to shoot at a dude with your vehicle mode gun, you don't, like Seth put it, you don't have to do a three-point turn just to peek out from behind a corner. You can just slide in and out. And then if you got to, like, burn it down a highway to escape, you flip your tires down and just vroom off, kind of thing. So I like that. I like that paradigm.
Paradigm.
Yeah, I'm very excited by this, and I highly recommend everyone check out the supplemental as well, because it's very informative, and you get to hear about the other dude who was there. So let's move on to an intermission, and then we'll be back with things we got and listener questions.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed.
We're back with what we got this week. And I got stuff this week, and I think someone else got stuff this week. But let's figure it out together. Aaron, did you get stuff this week?
Yes, I did. I'll do this in the order that I got it. First off was after my Toys R Us rant that I've talked about before. To show Toys R Us, got on my iPhone sitting in the parking lot at Toys R Us and went, I'll show you, went to Big Bad Toy Store and ordered myself an Alternity Cliff. How that shows anybody but my wallet, I don't know.
You guys will never get this import toy. Suck it.
Yeah. Order. And it was like, it was a three count, and I went, wait, what? What'd I just do? I don't regret the purchase, because I do love the shiny, shiny, pretty paint. I got, it seems to be a theme for this week for me, a little bit of paint goober on his front end, where it looks like when the paint was sprayed, maybe a little bit of extra held on there. But amazing alternative. He was going to be a BotCon pickup, a convention pickup, but I was going to show Toys R Us, gosh darn it. And he's good. A friend of mine has Bumblebee. I definitely like Cliff better because of the paint, mm-hmm. and the Alternity storyline, in that he's not Alternity, he's just friggin' Cliff, and I'll show you, I don't need no 87 different bodies traveling through space and time. I just need me. What?
Yeah.
The first time I went to do the transformation, his windshield did bite me.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that part. You got to orient it correctly because gravity plays a part.
Yeah, well, it was. I had everything. I just was afraid to push because there just seemed like a certain breakpoint where it wasn't just, you know, most things can transform it. A light push is all that's needed. Mine needed a little bit of convincing.
Mm-hmm.
That first time, and it still needs a little bit more than what you're used to with normal mainline toys, in that you take, you know, a little bit of pull or a little bit of push is enough. This needs that bit of convincing, and I wasn't real sure about it, so it was one of those where I was slowly, slowly, slowly building up the pressure, and then when it finally went, it was, yeah, okay, fine then. The belly gut doesn't look nearly as bad as those stock photos.
Yeah.
It's just the stock photo syndrome.
Well, have you hit the same point that I have, where it's like I'm looking at the Alternity Seekers, I'm seeing maybe little problems, but I'm going like, I know I'm going to love it when I hold it anyway, so I may as well just do it now.
Seeing some of the issues, again, it's the wonders of stock photos.
Yeah.
You never know really what you're getting when it's some poor photographer has to go through and take pictures of these friggin' kids' toys again. God, I hate this gig, but it pays the bill. All right, bring the next one in. Okay, yeah, it kind of looks like a robot. Click. Oh, what do you mean his shoulders are around his waist? Ah, next one. Click, click. And so missed transformations and bad posings, understood. It would be not, you know, it's the ultimate wish of it would be nice if Takara Tomy or Hasbro would go to one of the people that already is buying these toys at, you know, 100 times markup to get the first review, the first photo, whatever.
Yeah.
And give them the toys early to control that flow and say, hey, we know that you like taking pictures of it so much that you buy these toys way early and then you spend time to make a good photo mock-up. Hey, you want to do this for the cost of the toys? And those people would go, boom. And then they'd probably die from, you know, having an aneurysm. But eventually there'd be one that would, you know, make it out of the hospital from the aneurysm and then take good pictures. And we'd actually get to see features and whatnot that get missed.
Well, that's what Mattel does with a lot of its stuff, is they have a whole system with their Matty Collector lineup where they send products out to certain parties who they know will take very fan-driven photo shoots or video shoots of them. But Matty Collector's also operating on a far smaller scale than Transformers is.
Right.
So I figure that's probably where the divide comes in.
So then after Cliff, I was just randomly in a Walmart doing some other shopping and managed to find myself a Skystalker.
Oh.
To complete that wave of basics. And again, as you've said, as I've said, basics are almost, I have to say at this point, I'd say they're pushing neck and neck, if not beating, deluxes for fun per cost.
Yeah.
They're getting more and more poseable. I mean, Skystalker has these hook things and a scheme that play along with Mindwipe, because Mindwipe has like the ski pole sword blade things, and then Skystalker has these hooks, which actually the clips on them can clip into his forearm or go into his hand, and then the clips are compatible across Brawn and everybody else, and so it's definitely doing that cross-compatibility. The one thing about cross-compatibility that upsets me, though, is between Skystalker's instructions and box and card and Mindwipe's instruction and box and all that stuff, nowhere does it mention that one goes on top of the other.
Yeah, I heard
so
about
you've
that.
Got these two little odd ports on one and these two little odd pegs on the other one, and if you were at that one BotCon panel, you know what they're for. If
yep.
not, it's something that could easily be missed or forgotten.
And that's what
what
they're...
If on one of the instructions it was just combines with Skystalker.
That's what they're doing with the RC triplet that's coming out as well, is like the combination instructions will be online. So, I mean, like, you know, at least it's more referenceable than a BotCon panel, but it is still something that a lot of people who buy the toys will never know about.
Yeah. Or even if they just drop the blurb, hey, go to Transformers.com to see how these combine. Mm-hmm. That would be all right, because then you're getting cross-traffic to your website, and that's one of those holy grails these days.
Indeed.
The only real bummer about this dude is he has Megatron feet.
Yeah, but GOG, I think it was. GOG convinced me that it's not quite as distractingly bad.
It's not as bad because he has such big toes that it helps to open it up to begin with, but still, I don't like, but not, I mean, he's a quick transform. The official instructions you can pretty much throw out because about 8 steps are how to step by step rotating the piece 90 degrees, how to get his wings lined up right. Or alt mode, when really it should just be kind of push it around until everything clicks together.
Yeah.
And then the final bit of the haul for this week is thanks to the aforementioned GOG Dog with RC and Ratchet. And the bit I was looking for at the beginning of the show comes in here, in that I got my first Lockdown's EMP to put it on my Cybertronian Ratchet's arm, and it would not stay on. It's as if the port is just a shade too small. It has little nubs, but I'm afraid to go a shaving on the nubs to find out that it makes it that much worse. What?
Nothing. It just sounded funny. That's all.
I know it did.
Aaron gets to say things that sound funny, but I do, and oh, we got to pull him out of the podcast. anyway.
But, my other issue with my Ratchet is the antenna that is broken on the Earth Mode Ratchet has a giant paint goober, the theme for the week, on it. So I've managed to shave it off so it doesn't, like, protrude, but with any little bit of light with the matte paint, it shows up. So I don't think I'm going to go for a second one of him to fix a paint goober and hope for a EMP connector point, but I'm glad that he made it out. I'd like to see Ironhide make it out too, but I don't know if it will, being big and red, and Ratchet has a lot of red. I don't see Toys R Us double dipping on that well.
Yeah.
Maybe if it can get out someplace else or as some other exclusive, that would be cool. The little EMP shock paddles are actually a lot more fun than I thought they'd be. But then the other one that I got was RC, which is the one that I've already been told that I need to get a second one for my wife.
Yes.
My wife's a teacher. RC's a teacher.
And gee, I wonder who can hook you up.
Yeah, that would be great if there was somebody that could hook me up. Bling, bling. I already have stress marks on a thumb. The silly open hand sword accessory just asks to pop that thumb off. And I was seeing all the issues. I was very careful about putting sword in straight down, but that doesn't quite work because you have the little nubs on the side, so you kind of have to do a twist and rotate, which is, I'm pretty sure, right where that stress mark came from. But
it's a combination of something between that and between where her thumbs are stressed when they peg in to the vehicle mode thing. It's like, we've kind of surmised it's impossible to avoid them.
Right. But she is supremely poseable. I also have, like, the bit of black touch-up needed on the end of the foot. So, Vangelis, if you could, like, do something that shows all the little bits and bobs that you were talking about, the paint and whatnot.
Well, I can tell you how to fix a little bit of paint on the front of the foot is you get a brush and some black paint, and then
is there a matte black paint that you would specifically say works best and keeps it all the same? Because I'd go out and get something that would end up being glossy.
Don't get an enamel. Look for, I think Tamiya does it where they have gloss and matte versions of all their colors. So just look for matte black.
I am extremely lazy. I need links.
I go to hobby shops. I don't know where to buy it online.
Oh. Okay, I may just have to hit up my local gaming store.
Yeah.
Then I do want to do the lips, because that bit of mold there just disappears.
She has no
mouth.
It's
light pink. Yeah, she has no mouth. But, awesome toy. Of the two, I would be much more upset if RC never made it out.
Definitely.
That's okay, Ratchet, he's already had a release. Granted, this is a completely different release. It's not like he's, Blazing Ratchet or something goofy like that. But she poses very well. Wings off. The wings were on, and I went, ooh, wow, that's huge. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And so they're in my bag of animated accessories that I don't know what to do with. And I think she is going to stay on the desk for quite a while.
Build a transmutate out of them.
Might do that. And, like I said, if I can find that second one, blink, blink, I know the wife is going to take it in and have it on her desk along with her RPM's Optimus Prime and Mighty Mugs Bumblebee.
Excellent. That's quite a haul. Lupus, what did you get this, last month?
Let's see. I haven't really bought too much. I did get Masterpiece Skywarp. I don't know if I've said that the last time I was on or not.
Oh, a lot of people have been getting him because he's been on sale, right?
Yep. And other than that, Skystalker and Mindwipe. That's pretty much it.
Oh, how you liking?
I did get a call from Optimus Scourge saying that he's got an RC and Rescue Ratchet for me.
Wicked.
So I'm like, yay. And then I ended up finding RC today at the store. And
you should get the second one and send it to Aaron.
I'm thinking about it. And then when we were leaving Toys R Us today, my dear significant other absolutely made sure that I left with an RC, and I'm going, why, I've got one already. Okay, sure. I'm sure someone will need it. Or someone's wife.
Someone's wife, whose husband is named Aaron.
That would be so
shame
awesome.
We got some Axemith guy here.
Yeah, whatever happened
to Axemith
him?
Is dead.
No!
Whatever happened to Axemith?
I killed him a year ago.
Say it ain't so, Coach. Say it ain't so.
He'll be back. Axemith is always back. That's cool. I'm glad more people are finding RC locally. That's always nice. It's nice when you don't have to actually rely on someone to get it for you. So,
it would be nice.
Yeah, it would be. Would be nice if anyone in my country could walk into a Toys R Us and buy one. But that's pretty cool. And Omegas, what did you get this week?
Oh, I got a bunch of little things. Surprisingly little having to do with Transformers, however. Yeah. Since my Walmart absolutely sucks, I think the newest thing they had when I was there this week was, I think, Gears.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else. Went by the clearance section and for half off picked up the crossovers Captain America and the X-Force Wolverine.
You know what? Star Wars crossovers are on sale here, but the Marvel ones still aren't. I would buy a Marvel one for $11 or $12.
What made me laugh was that they had, it's the X-Force Wolverine repaint, and it's, they had the Hulk Bulldozer, both clearance to $8 a pop, and they're brand new toys. They just came out. Which I love when they accidentally time a sale with a new release like that. Spidey car, unfortunately.
Oh, the Spidey car looks neat.
I always forget that these are really nice figures. I just never get around to buying them myself.
It's because they're just expensive enough to feel like, it's just too much.
Yeah. That's always the problem I have.
Yeah, even though it's a chunky deluxe, it's a chunky deluxe.
Yeah.
Oh, it reminds me of the good old days of the $15 Mega.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But these don't seem like they're good enough to be Megas.
They're not. They're still deluxes. The best comparison for a Marvel crossover is a deluxe. It's just Marvel crossovers are all larger by about a half a head, and that's where their price point just gets pushed way up, and it's unfortunate.
But I just a chunky deluxe.
Yeah.
The upside I do now have
big boned.
Yeah. Okay.
But how's Cap? Because I hear Cap is pretty cool.
Cap is quite nice. He's a very, very solid figure, and I love his little, like, spring-out shield. It has absolutely no reason for doing so, but it's still neat.
Yeah.
Fits on his arm. That's my one gripe about the toy, is that I wish I could put the shield on, like, Wolverine, but the way it pegs in, it only goes for Cap.
As it should.
Wolverine can't hold that thing. He's got too much snicked going on. His snicked level is too high to wield the shield.
And I was going to hold off for the Punisher because the Punisher version of the mold is phenomenally badass, but it works.
Does it turn into a gun? So
that's a truck. It's the Punisher war van. it's Punisher Robo War Journals.
It's the Hummer that Arnold Schwarzenegger wished he had with a big skull and a machine gun on top.
Yeah.
So it's a surprisingly cool little thing. See what else around here did I get? I'm losing track of it all. New Figuarts came in.
Mm-hmm.
And because someone who may or may not be in this podcast right now made me very weak-willed when it comes to those. shut up. Double, Cyclone Joker, Gattak, and another Agito. So basically the entire wave that just came out.
Big halo over my head right now, I'm sorry. What was that? I'm blinded by my own heavenly light. I'm sorry, what?
Damn it.
It's not just a name.
I only got another Agito because of your damn review.
Dude. Oh, I did review that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Damn you. I don't have money right now. Stop making me spend it. But I do not regret it. They are very neat figures. No figure art has disappointed me so far. Not even Agito and the Rage Hands.
Poor him.
Love that clip, by the way.
Mine's all fixed up now. I got all the other hands, and he's happier.
See, so those are nice. Oh, and this finally came in, which is a little thing that lets me do. And other such noises.
So it got out of customs?
Finally. 5 weeks and 5 days.
Is that where it was all held up?
I hope so. Otherwise, there's some kid in Nebraska playing with it all this time.
They were all pushing the buttons. That's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you pulled the on that purchase, because it's really worthwhile.
Oh. You have to win, don't you?
Whoa. There's no need to bear your at me here. I mean, it's all fine.
Oh.
Hey, you ever watched... just throwing it out there.
Did you get extras of those by chance?
I'll tell you later about the way that they blocked those out. It's frustrating.
Alright. But yeah, the belt is actually quite cool, and because my willpower is non-existent.
Good man. Do you have your spring-loaded stick too?
Yes.
Are those springs not terrifying?
God, I wish I owned a cat.
Yeah, it's like, imagine bed springs in a spring-loaded toy. That's what that thing has in it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They did have the decency to make it like soft, hollow plastic. Otherwise, you'd be bludgeoning your younger siblings with this thing.
You could punch a hole.
You make it sound like that's a bad thing.
Yeah, isn't that what little brothers and sisters are for?
Acts
of violence.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying they made it less fun to do so.
Oh.
But it's... God, speaking of getting shafted, that thing, you cannot get that thing out of Japan on cheapo shipping. It has to go express. So, in the end, I paid $75 for a stick.
And a sound box.
Which, that's the devilish thing. The belt only, I mean, like, I say that the stick is not worth the money, the belt is almost worth the money, and I do not have the gun yet, so I cannot say one way or the other. But having all three and having all these little sound boxes to switch between them somehow magically makes it worth it. And it's an evil marketing scheme they've come up with.
In my case, I just forget about the money I spent on it once they're all here, and I think, wow, it's so cool I have them all. And then I really try hard to not think about how much it costs to assemble that stuff. That's pretty cool, though. So you got a rider hall and some crossovers.
Considerably large rider hall. I am happy with them. I need to get some actual, like, 100% Transformers in. Just three of them to add to my collection. But they're kind of top secret for now, and I don't know if I want to give it away just yet.
Don't spoil. No spoilers. No spoilers. We have no spoiler section guy right now. No spoilers.
Right. He's still on vacation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I got some stuff in this week, but before I talk about what I got, just briefly, I think someone also got... Someone else on the podcast actually got the Shadow Warrior.
I did.
Good I man! Did, man! Good man! Oh, I thought I was going to be the only person here who had one. Like...
I will say, it looks... Yeah, I kind of tripped over BotCon and a whole bunch of stuff on the floor. But, for some reason, I got, like, an insanely huge box, like, large priority mail-sized flat rate box from BBTS for it.
Oh, and I know this story.
It's like the size of a cigarette box.
Yeah,
it's
everyone on YouTube who got one of them made a video to show the box that Big Bad Toy Store sent it in. And I was laughing my head off because the box is the size of a television. And the box it's the Shadow insane. Warrior comes in is the size of a deck of cards. And, like, Automaton, I bought two of them, right? Automaton sent me a box that was, like, it was the length of a shoebox but thinner. So it was still, it was a very small box. I was like, that's very nice and economical. Big Bad Toy Store sends out, like, a box big enough to put a microwave in. And I was like, holy crap. Like...
My shipping was like 20 frickin' bucks for that. For one little dinky thing.
Oh my God.
Everyone's like, oh, it's a $35 toy. No, it cost me $20
shipping.
Bucks for
this little thing. Oh my. Domestic $20 shipping for a deck of cards. That's amazing.
Fucking nuts.
Like I bought two, and Automaton gave me $10 domestic shipping on their flat rate, and I felt like, oh, maybe I should have thrown something else in the order. well, how do you like it outside of all that?
Okay, if anyone is thinking about buying this, please read the instructions first.
Oh, dear.
The plastic is very, very malleable. And what I thought was a peg and socket joint that would pop open the guns and you take them apart. No, it's a slide. You slide the two pieces apart.
Oh, the T-bar.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah,
the little T-bar.
That's a bit of a rough point. Yeah, the T-bar and then the hinge on the guns themselves for the weapon storage are the two most breakable points I've seen. But how do you feel about the rest of it? Like, does it otherwise feel pretty stable?
It's okay.
Yeah,
honestly, if the plastic was a lot harder, I'd be a lot happier.
That T-bar
if it was bigger,
is
I'd be
rough.
A lot happier.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I don't think I'll buy another one unless it's in... Rosanna colors. That's the only reason I'll buy another one.
I'd buy a Rosanna one of these. I'd buy a Rosanna one of these in an instant.
As would I. But as it is, this is what they're going to produce, and it's this freaking small. No.
For some reason, the size has made me like it more. I don't know why. I think it's
really?
It's accomplished.
I was expecting something more from the images that we saw.
I was expecting
at least scout size.
For me, it's accomplished the world's smallest Transformers thing of, like, being small but, like, making a feature out of it for me. It's just like the way that they pulled off that much sculpting on a head that tiny and, like, that it's that small but still posable. Like, it's hit that, I guess, Asian vein in me where it's, like, shrunken things make me really interested and jazzed up. But it is very short. I mean, like, you gotta tell people, like, yeah, it is... It's a very short robot.
I agree. It's really small, and I like the placement of the guns and whatnot, or the stereotypical guns for a cassette into the two ground pounders. But mm-hmm. I don't know, his little mini gun thing. I couldn't quite figure out what to do with it to make it.
Yeah, the pistol.
Yeah, I couldn't quite like
get it to stay. It's supposed to peg into the side of his shin, but it doesn't work. And that pistol overall is like the biggest design flaw for me, because it doesn't really holster on him, and then when you're supposed to use it as a handle, it's a very rickety connection.
Yeah.
So outside, like, I usually if I was going to leave something off of him, I would have just left the pistol off and had him turn into a flying gun.
Honestly, if it was up to me, I'd get rid of that T-bar, but
Yeah. The T-bar is a little annoying because like I saw it right away, so I was like, "All right, don't pull." But even then, it's difficult to get everything lined up perfectly with the T-bar. Although I can see how pegs would have worn out faster, and also given that it has to turn into a solid piece that really heavily clips into his shoulder joints, I can see how the T-bar keeps it from being a gun mode that could split into pieces under various pressures. But it is still pretty rough. And yeah, definitely read the instructions first.
Honestly, people like us that are hardcore Transformers geeks, how often do we actually look at the instructions?
I only looked at them because the dude's transformation is so odd. I was like, all right, there's nothing wholly logical about this jumping out at me, so I should take a look and see what they actually want me to do.
All right. To be fair, I swore off the instructions, and then I got the Deluxe Brawl from the first movie line, instantly snapped the gears inside it, and said, all right, instructions from here on out.
That's why I hit up instructions, because I'm always afraid that there's going to be that one time where it's the big text, do not do this, and the first thing I do is,
That's like me and my Legends Devastator. It wasn't in the instructions, but I was like, I bet his waist clips out another click, and it's like, click. It's like, there's the sound. Oh, he's in two pieces now. But outside of that awful toy breakage, there are now two people on the podcast with Shadow Warriors, and I feel happy.
Is this going to be like the Powered Commander? Or?
Oh, no. I don't think anyone else wants one. I'm already surprised that you got one. I was really sure I was going to be the only guy. What I got this week was from board member 90. His Toys R Us, his local Toys R Us in the UK, had some Robot Heroes on clearance, so I got Tigatron and Inferno for $9.50 shipped. I wouldn't have bought them if someone hadn't sent me a pile of Robot Heroes as a Christmas gift and got me started. And I was hoping to get Ricochet and Predaking off of 90, but someone beat me to it, and I think it was Druido, but I'm not sure. So, Robot Heroes. And I got some Rider stuff, too. I got Fig Art Cyclone Joker, who's cool, and I'm really freaked out by the gummy plastic and tiny ball joint his scarf plugs into his neck with. I am so sure that thing's going to rip. Like, not break. I don't think it's going to break. I think it's actually going to rip like toffee eventually. But
yeah, I switched that thing once on mine. So it's staying default from now on.
Yeah, it's freaky. And I got a Kiwami Damashi Blade, who's pretty cool. His arm posability seems limited, but I found ways around it. And I can fully pose his arms now, and he's delicious and inexpensive. And I got Candy Gaia Memories, where you get 10 to a box for 3,000 yen. And so you get the whole set of 6, and then you get 4 extras. And I thought the 4 extras was going to be more logical than it was, and it was kind of like,
oh dear.
And I checked around, and I'm actually pretty sure this is how they are all arranged, which is even more, oh. Because that explains why the Metal Memory on its own was always like $20 when this first came out. I'll explain after we're done the show to Omegas. But that's what I got this week. We've got 2 listener questions. Let's blitz through these because we've got about 10 minutes left before I feel uncomfortable with the length. And our first listener question is from Spensimus Prime, who asks...
Hello, gentlemen at WTF at TFW. This is Spensimus Prime, and I have a few listener questions for you. One, some people like the movie designs and some people don't. You know, different strokes for different folks. But my question to you is, do you think the movie could work with a different, more classic-looking aesthetic? Number two, if you were to work on the Transformers brand in any form of media, be it toys, comic book, or just the cartoon, what would you work on? Thanks, and have a great day.
So, to answer the first question, would the movies have worked with a more classic aesthetic? Very hard to say, I think, at this juncture, because back in 2007, I would have said, well, it depends. I'd say it depends. Back in 2007, it'd be like, well, the classic aesthetic is kind of boxy and might not work out. Now that we've had Universe toys and Revenge of the Fallen toys that more or less fuse the classic aesthetic with movie aesthetic, I have no idea anymore. It was 2007. I don't think it's going to change heavily in the third movie. And I think that all of us have far too skewed a perception now to be able to make a really sound judgment call. That's just my opinion, though. Just given things like Bludgeon, given things like Universe Sideswipe and stuff like that, who merged several aesthetics together, you know, it's so hard to say what is classic now outside of boxy. And if we're going to say boxy, then I don't think that would have worked. But that's just me. Omegas, how do you answer that?
Well, we just saw this remodeled Bumblebee.
Exactly.
Which to me just, okay, that's a more classic design. That's a little bit more of more familiarity in the style. And that would have worked perfectly fine for me. I've always had an issue with the movie designs as they're just far too complex, just way more complicated than they ever needed to be. And I can understand not wanting to have these big G1 boxy designs that look basically in CGI really would not look very good. But at the same time, I mean, it is a robot. Even if you're working it back logically or realistically, it would be streamlined a lot more than some of the movie designs ended up being. So, I really think, yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. If it had been closer to things like the Universe 2 style, then yeah, it would have worked fine. And in a way, it would have worked better. I mean, I still hear the exact same complaint about the movie is that a lot of my friends cannot tell any of them apart because they all look like big meshes of metal walking around.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Lupus, how do you answer the question?
I think you guys have pretty much covered it. I mean, there really isn't anything else that I can say to add to the discussion on this one.
Ah. Alrighty. So we have an agreement. And Aaron, how will you finish off the answers on this one?
About the same. You know, if it's... The biggest issue would be if you were to go to all the way to 84 classic, air quotes here, for those that can't see my fingers in the air, and because all that was just big blocks. It goes from something to blocky box that looks kind of like the front end of a vehicle. That I don't think would work in movie land because there's a whole lot more detail in everything in a movie than just there were in a cartoon.
So definitely.
As long as there was still some mech in there, it all depends. Like you started out with, you know, what level of classic you go to.
Yeah.
So it's a yes or a no.
Yeah, the thing is, nowadays we have all these like intermediaries that it's kind of like there's a lot to cite now to go like, well, what do we mean by classic and what do we mean by more classic? Question number two, working on any form of media, what would it be? Lupus.
Okay, if I could work on, like, is this hypothetical as in I could get a job at Hasbro doing any type of media?
Yeah, like if you were suddenly told you are going to work on Transformers, is it going to be like comics, toys, or cartoons, or movies, or something like that?
I would work on BIOS for all the toys.
You'd be Forrest?
That's it. I would kill for that job.
You'd kill Forrest Lee and consume his body?
Oh, kill his disciples and then usurp his apprenticeship.
Work closer to him. Take on the power of his disciples before you take him out yourself.
I would be the Darth Vader to his Emperor Palpatine.
All right. Omegas, where would you work in Transformers if you had the choice?
Any form of media. I would prefer to work in the video games.
Cool.
Going back to my gripe before, I have yet to see any that do everything the way they really need to do it. And War for Cybertron looks like it's going in the direction where it has the best chance of doing that.
Mm.
But, you know, I am sick of these half-hearted Transformers games, and I would like to shot at showing them, okay, step aside, this is what you need to do.
You want to be the game designer type.
Yeah.
Design lead, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody around, power trip.
Myself, I'd love to work in comics, actually, with full free range to do whatever comics I want. Because then I could tell all the stories I want to tell with a cool, you know, visual aspect added in. And there's a lot of stories I want to tell, and a lot of them I wouldn't want to worry about getting actors or budgeting for animation. I just want to tell them. And I'd want to hook up with several of the cool folks at IDW and make some cool comic books. I'd love to work in other things too, but I think that, you know, I like storytelling, and that's where I would like to. That's where I'd want to contribute to Transformers, because I don't think I have any engineering or toy ideas that wouldn't be completely and utterly derivative of something I saw somewhere else, and it wouldn't offer as much as some other folks. So I hope that answered your questions, and we have one more person to answer that question, which is Aaron.
I was going to say it's awesome that we go 4 for 4 in different things, because I think I would like more of the toy engineering, get this and this to go into there with no more than 4 parts type of, like, the hard engineering. I'm not much of an artist, but I think that it would be interesting to be on that back end of making everything play together at the end for the toys, which is ultimately the most important part of Transformers, because that's what the franchise is focused on.
Mm-hmm.
Not none of your fiction. You don't have the toys of fiction, don't mean nothing.
Storyteller!
Yeah.
Artist!
So go on there, Captain Smooth.
Ah, that's Commander Smooth. I make a good puree. Moving on to our other listener question for this week, it is from DragonLord2200, and he said this.
What's going on, WTF TMW crew? This is Gary, aka the DragonLord2200, from the TMW board, and I'm here with two listener questions for you guys. First question is, if you guys seen anything here in your collection that you regret buying, what is it and why? And the second question basically is, how do you guys feel if they, in War for Cybertron, like, what if they brought back, like, older, like we're talking, like, maybe the combiners, like, Bruticus or Superion, and, like, downloadable content, if we guess that. So I hope these questions get answered, and keep on rocking, guys. I love the podcast. Take it easy. Later.
So, figures that we regret buying, I don't really, speaking for myself, I don't really regret any Transformers I've bought, because I always find something I like in them, or if I utterly dislike them, like the first Voyager movie Megatron, it gives me something that I can cite as something I dislike. Speaking as someone who likes a lot of stuff, it's really, really tactically helpful to have toys you can cite as ones you dislike, so people don't think that you're nuts. I actually would want to just step outside of Transformers for this one and say that a while ago, Yamato put out Bubblegum Crisis stuff. They put out the Moto Slave. First release was the red Moto Slave with Pris, and I bought it because I liked Bubblegum Crisis when I was a kid. And it's an okay toy, but it has a lot of design problems that were really irritating for the price point. And then a few months later, they released it again with full chromatic paint all over the stuff, like full chrome metallic red paint over the parts that were just cast and unpainted red plastic in mine. Same price, 300 times the paint. I got Yamato'd on the very first Yamato toy I ever bought, and I regret it hardcore. That is my regretful toy buy, but I'm sure you'd rather hear about Transformers. So, Aaron, how about you?
I'm pretty sure we've talked about something along these lines before. Generally, yep. My regrets come in on the bigger toys. I've probably said the Supreme Ultimate Super Duper Bumblebee, even though I got them on a misprice at like 20 or 25 bucks, it's still like, ugh, really? You know, that's a lot of space. Not so much guys like Unicron and Primus. They're still pretty big. And it's like, okay, well, you've got extra tack-on missile bits or whatever. The Supreme size Starscream is probably why I never picked up the Supreme sized animated Optimus Prime, which I was actually kind of interested in. Mm-hmm. But you get those giant hunks of plastic that could be done just to say, well, you know, that Supreme size Cybertron Starscream was done in a Voyager size and done much better. Because I got the Botcon kind of smaller version repaint, remold, whatever of it. And that's a better mold because it's not the giant ka-kunk, ka-kunk, ka-kunk joints just to have something be stupid big. Things like that are regrets. Things that end up being kind of impulse buys. Sometimes I'll get a little bit of buyer's remorse, kind of like Cliff. I'm not upset that I got Cliff. It's not a bad piece. It's worth it, but it's something that's like I sit there and I go, why did I do that? You know, not Transformers, but I've got Bioshock 2 and Final Fantasy 13 sitting on a shelf that I know I'm not going to get to those games in quite a while. I could save myself money if I waited and got it used or whatever.
Yeah.
There's this interesting video game podcast I've started listening to that they kind of discuss that a little bit.
Would that be GamePads Unplugged?
Yes, it is.
From GamePadsUnplugged.com or GPads Unplugged on Twitter?
Yes, something like that. And they've kind of talked about that. And I kind of go through the same thing, but I'm like, man, I know I want to play that. And I'm here. And, well, today it was, if you're following me on Twitter, it was a rain day. We got like 3 hours of beat you down rain. And so we went over to a Walmart that was a couple blocks away, and I was kind of wandering around and went to the electronics department and went, woo! And then I bought it, and then I'm sitting in the truck going, wow, that's 60 bucks I'm not going to touch for 2 months. Dumbass. Things like that is when I have regrets, but it's not, I mean, it's still not like, oh my God, why did I buy that? It's like, why did I buy that right now?
Yeah. All right.
To take a very short question and make it too long.
Oh, Aaron Smith.
Lupus, how would you answer the question?
God, I'm pretty sure we actually covered this like way back in like episode 14 or 16 or something.
Maybe it's changed since then. I don't know.
90% of the movie toys. Yeah.
Buyer's regret.
Other than that, I would have to say the Battle in the Box, Crystal Widow, and Oil Slick.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the staples of Injector and really hideous Transformers.
No one regrets Injector. I mean, he's awesome. He's a
not for $2.
He's a toy of the year. He's a toy of the year. He's the toy of the year for 2010. Injector, vote for it.
rousing support you got on that one.
Omegas, what's the toy that you regret owning or buying?
I'm pretty sure I remember covering this at one point, but
I can't remember. I don't keep track of when we did listener questions, and if it's not recent, I just don't remember if we've talked about it or not.
Let me reiterate then. I'm the kind that even if I pick up a toy where I'd go, well, yeah, this is absolute junk, or you know, I'm never gonna touch this again. It's gonna sit on the shelf and be my official dust collector.
Yeah.
You know, that way I can see how much dust would collect if I wouldn't pick up anything off the shelf for like 8 years. But I'm always the kind that goes, well, even if I really don't like a toy, I should find something about it that I do enjoy and enjoy it for that. You know, like I cannot stand Armada smokescreen, but you know what? It's got one of the neater, more action-filled gimmicks that I've seen in a Transformer. So, okay, I have to enjoy it for the big flippy cannon and the micro or the minicon it comes with. And you know, it's all about trying to find some way of having fun with a toy, even if you do not enjoy it, which is what the whole plastic addict thing is about. That's how I enjoy the toys I regret. And then I don't regret them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Except for Hot Shot.
Hot Shot's beautiful.
Damn, Hot Shot. Hot Shot made me, man. I can't hate Hot Shot for real. Just because I owe what I am to him.
I owe what I am to a steady diet of Coke Zero.
And Spream.
We should cover his second question, which was, what would you feel like if they brought back older combiners like Bruticus or Superion as DLC in War for Cybertron? Aaron?
Well, Bruticus showed up in our pictures, didn't he?
Onslaught was in
that
them.
Onslaught?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of those, well, it's a part of Bruticus, so, yeah. As far as combined, I am new to the DLC world, just having gotten a PlayStation 3 recently, and the first game I got had DLC, but it was all already on the disc that I got, so I didn't really get the DLC. But anyway, I probably would be bigger into it if it was. The only thought in my mind is it looks like all of this stuff is being built for three character teams, and if now you've got one character that's supposed to be as powerful as five or more, then I can see that throwing off any levels that you're running, unless it's specific levels only for the combiners, if it's like a DLC pack and you get to do that and whatever, and then you can get it in multiplayer or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can see that. I just am thinking kind of the technical end of it, of, okay, yeah, combiners are cool, but they're overpowered. It'd be like going through and using Omega Supreme when, you know, Soundwave doesn't come up past his ankle, and then you're doing the same level with Omega Supreme, which consists of walk forward and step on everything. You don't even get to use your Mega Super Awesome Cannon.
Yes.
Yeah. It would be interesting if implemented correctly.
All right. And Lupus, how would you feel about Combiner DLC?
I'm pretty sure Aaron's mostly covered it. I would like to, if they were going to do something in that scheme, I could see them doing, instead of a mission of three characters, you being the primary and two AI support groups, if it was a case of one PC and four AI, and then, oh, look, you can combine them all into Superior or Bruticus or et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would have to be tiered so that it couldn't be you playing against a bunch of other people in just a single unit, as opposed to just, oh, look, I'm Superior and your little Megatron squish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it would throw off a lot of game balance, and they'd need to work really hard on that. If they're going to include it, they'd need to work really hard on trying to keep it and maintaining that balance.
All right, and Omegas, how would you feel about DLC combiners?
Once again, since the word combiner was mentioned, I have to push my love of Computron.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do that. I would be fine with it. I mean, more combiner love is never a bad thing, and a little bit more variety in the game would also make me happy. But however, since this is three character teams, I have to insist that we make Road Caesar a DLC combiner. That way you get one solid team, you know, big form up. You do like the same thing they do with like for those who have played Tatsunoko versus Capcom, and you've got your giant characters in there that are supposed to be able to compete with a two-man team. There are pluses and minuses to being that big. So there are ways of balancing out like actual combiner teams that would be playable. Now, it's hard to tell without a final game in front of me, but there'd be ways of doing it.
Yeah. All right, well, my own approach to it is I'd love to see it, but huge, gigantic, font-size 75 butts. Number one, it would be a completely different gameplay style to everything we've seen so far for War for Cybertron. Number two, as has been said, giant guys require a ton of balancing, especially if you're going to be able to hot swap into one from your squad. And number three, I don't want them to spend the time figuring that out right now. I want them to focus on no combiners. Because number four, it's the War for Cybertron, and they can just say in the fiction that combiner technology didn't exist till they found Earth. And that's kind of G1-ish. So I think it'd be neat, but overall, I actually would prefer if that was not something on the plate right now, only for the sake of resource allocation and stuff like that. If there's a really solid game done and they can figure out a way to make it DLC, I'll be surprised. I'd much rather see it as a sequel feature. But I mean, it'd be cool. It's just if it's cool but not done well, it'll be flash in the pan, and I don't want to see that with combiners. Mm-hmm. So we hope we answered your questions, and that's the show for this week. So tune in next time, and stay tuned for Supplemental 21, Seth Pads Unplugged. And don't ask me or Aaron about the Oscars.
No.
Because we talked for like half
really
an hour.
I really want to hear it.
Yeah, we put Lupus and Omegas. We like kind of just like, we push them out of the way and start shouting at each other.
That wasn't a push. That was very unkind, and I apologize. And if you need something for your throat,
Mm-hmm. Aaron, I told you, you do a shove to the collarbone. You don't push.
I know,
you went finger first.
You get that elbow in there, and they listen.
You went finger first to the Adam's apple. That's not cool. That's how Bruce Lee killed a man. Good night!
Add all that up, I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.